Wingate. Wingate's going to dribble it a couple of times and throws it in the hands of Cousinard. Threw it away. Cousinard to Ryan Martin for the dunk. The Shockers are going to the Sweet 16. It's all over. The Shockers up 7. 3 seconds. 2. Jumper by Smith is no good. Wichita State to the Sweet 16.
Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Solentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Thank you for listening. Today we're going to talk with Ted Woodward, who is the new public address announcer of Wichita State men's basketball. He's also the old public address announcer because he's been doing it for, what, almost 30 years with volleyball and baseball?
Yeah, started doing Shocker baseball 30 years ago.
So Ted is a familiar voice to Shocker fans. He will replace Don Hall as the PA voice of Wichita State men's basketball. Hall, of course, had done it for 37 years on a microphone before Don passed away in April. As I said, you know Ted's voice from volleyball, from baseball, hosted the Shocker Locker Room post-game show from 1995 to 2019. Maybe most well-known for co-hosting Steve and Ted in the Morning on KNSS. Ted, welcome. How are you today?
Good, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well. Let's get right into this. You are the new PA announcer for men's basketball. How's that sport different from volleyball and baseball?
Well, in basketball, you get I love the fact that you get baskets. I mean, that's what I'm announcing is baskets. That's where the excitement's come from. So as long as the team is scoring and getting things done, that's fun. Baseball is just announcing the batter, the next batter coming up, the next pitching change. So there's a little less of a dynamic of excitement with baseball public address. I think in baseball, the excitement kind of comes from the stuff I'm doing between innings. If I can bring some sort of a interesting aspect to what's going on between innings, then to entertain the fans in that way. But basketball, you get to engage with the crowd during the game. And, you know, when somebody makes a three or a big bucket for a layup, that's where the synergy between the crowd and the PA announcer is happening in basketball. And then in volleyball, of course, my big thing is if a team gets a kill, there's a spike that's hitting the floor, I'm yelling that name out there that got the kill, and then the crowd's going crazy, so that provides kind of its own little level of excitement too. So I love doing them all. They all bring their own challenges and fun.
Well, let's go back. You went to Cape of Mount Carmel for high school. You went to Notre Dame. When did you say, I think public address announcing is something I'd like to do?
It was thrust at me at Notre Dame. I was a freshman in the fall of 1985, and there was a senior that did all the public address announcing for the Olympic-type sports, and he couldn't do it one weekend night, and they started going through the employee list of everybody in the sports information department. Will you do this? No. The seniors all said no. The juniors all said no. The sophomores all said, I don't want to do it. And they finally got to the list of the freshmen, and I got asked about 15th or 16th down the line, and I said, I'd love to do that. That sounds great. They said, fine, the job is yours. And I did it for the first time, and I immediately enjoyed it. Thought it was just a heck of a time, and I've been doing it now ever since for 35 years.
And you have a background in drama, singing. You canter at Blessed Sacrament
yes.
Church, where I go to church, right? Canter,
yes.
That's the right mm-hmm. term. Does that help you in the announcing world?
Maybe. I think I've been in radio for 25 years, so I think just using my voice in different ways in front of a microphone, it's very natural to me. It's something that I've obviously taken to, and maybe it's in my skill set, so that's why I'm good at it and I'm comfortable at it and enjoy doing it in no matter what form it takes, be it the theater, be it public address announcing, or be it on the radio every day.
You do some play-by-play, or have done play-by-play. What's the relationship between what you'll do at Coke Arena on game night and doing play-by-play of a indoor football game, Wichita Warlords?
Well, I think we talked about a little bit about that, is that the public address announcer is there to just provide the needed information, like who's coming up to bat, who's going to the free throw line, who is coming into the game or out of the game for substitutions. As far as descriptive things, if you're on the radio, I'm trying to paint a picture. If I'm a public address announcer, I'm not painting a picture. If I'm a public address announcer, I'm accentuating something that has happened or giving you information about what will happen. And that's so it's a whole different dynamic. And that in some ways, we've gotten so used to the din of the PA announcer, and there's so many announcements. I almost feel that the less the better for a PA announcer. If that person is saying something, it better be important so people will know to listen. But if that person is droning on and on forever, you just tune it out. Because, you know, this guy's going to talk for the next 3 hours. I don't have to listen to this. But I always kind of like to feel that if the public address announcer is saying something, you should pay attention. This is probably something important.
So to take fans then behind the curtain a little bit, how much freedom do you have to go off script or to be quiet? And how much of it is, I absolutely have to be speaking at these times?
I just think that's something I've learned over the years. It's a lot of it is scripted. I mean, and I'm doing the things that have to be done. Anything that I add to it, I don't want. And once again, I don't want to be intrusive into the event itself. That's what is important, is the event, the athletic event that I'm attending. I don't want to insert myself as part of that. Almost like an umpire, you don't want an umpire to be noticed. You just want to be part of the process and do your job. And if you did your job, then nobody will notice that. But, you know, I will tend to have some fun during the game. If there's a moment that calls for a wry comment or a little bit of a chuckle, I'll try to get it in there. But it's not something I'm definitely out to. Oh, I've got to get 5 laughs tonight. No. Nothing like that. But when you're doing athletic events, situations arise that are amusing, and I'll try to slip in something there once in a while if it's called for.
When Don Hall passed away in April, I did a story about him and his time at WSU, talked to you, and you complimented on him on his consistency, his professionalism. Tell us a little bit about maybe what you take from Don or what you learned from Don from, you know, being at Shocker Games over all these years.
Well, you mentioned consistency, and I'll probably harp on that word too, and I've tried to be that way too. Is that I don't want to come out and have a gangbuster game and then be a idiot the next time I take to the microphone and mess things up. I want it to be the same template every time I get behind the microphone for that game. So, you know, there's so many other things that are unknown going into a game, as far as the teams and the matchups, and people get excited about this and that. The public address announcer, I think, is just one of those things that needs to be as steady as a rock, and you know what you're getting, and you know that it's going to be there no matter what tenor the game takes and goes off on, and no matter if it's a good crowd that night or a bad crowd, the PA announcer has to be the same. So I'll just taking away that from Don, I want to be the guy that is in the chair and consistent night in, night out.
You've been around Shocker basketball a lot for the past 30 years or so, even longer. Came to Dink games with your dad, is that correct?
Started coming to Levitt Arena in 1976, okay. And I can still remember those Cheese Johnson, Bob Trogel, Steve Kalasinski teams that I started latching on to.
Were you at either one of the Larry Bird games?
Yes, was it both, yep.
Okay, that came up just earlier this week here in the office. I was at the one his junior year when Wichita State defeated him.
Yes, yeah. That was a great game.
So you've got that history with the program. How does that help this job?
Does it concretely help me? Probably not, but just having that, you know, 45-year history of being in the building so many times over those years, that's just maybe a comfort to me mentally. But and certainly having that connection to the past, it's helped me host the locker room show for the post-game that I've done over the last 25 years, and it's just a great connection to years gone by to kind of tap into that. And then, you know, none of that matters when the team is on the floor and you're competing against one team that night. That's the most important thing going on. But looking back over the years, it's fun to be part of that, even a small part of that.
I think you are well known for some of the names and the way you've announced them over the years. The Hoopers, both the baseball and the volleyball Hooper. We had Sarah Eunice on volleyball, was a favorite. Carla Brimo and the women's basketball team.
Brimo!
That's another one that people enjoy. Is there a current men's basketball name that you're really looking forward to making your own?
All right, I'll let you in on a little secret here, Paul. I don't plan any of that out. The first time I get to a roster, it's almost whatever comes out of my brain and my mouth that day is what kind of percolates it. So I don't do a lot of pre-planning on that. I just kind of see what happens the first one or two times that I announce that person, and if something feels right to me, I just go with it. And so I'll be honest, I haven't perused the roster yet, and I haven't checked any favorites or rehearsed anything at home that I'm going to do. I think it's just going to happen whatever happens.
How about from the past? Is there a former Shocker whose name just really entices you? You wish you would have had a chance to announce.
Oh, man. Now, see, here's the thing, too, with the PA announcer, is that the long vowels are what's important. Like the Sarah Eunice. If you can get a long vowel in there, you can really milk it. So maybe so the first thing that came to my mind was the Prelo twins. Oh. Anything with a nice long vowel on the end. Dwight Prelo!
That would have been good, and you could have had some fun with the twin aspect of it,
yeah.
Too, I'd guess, at some point.
Come up with something.
Okay, excellent. Very good.
Then there's those players that all they have are consonants. Those are the tough ones. Like Sasha Radunovic would have been tough. A lot of K's and H's and S's there. It's hard to spit that out sometimes.
So vowels are the
people. Vowels are great. Friend. The consonants, the more there are, the more tricky it gets.
Do Sullentrop.
Paul Sullentrop! Right. See, you've got some good vowels in there. I can work it in.
I'm going to clip that out and save it. Yeah, excellent. All right, you got a great voice for a PA announcer. Besides a voice, what are the other critical job requirements for a PA announcer?
Well, part of the voice, diction. And that's tantamount to getting anything done, because in any large space where you're hooked up to a mic system, the less diction you use, it's just all going to sound like marble mouth. So I mean, you've just got to overly pronounce everything. And if you do that, then it'll sound right to the people that are listening in the stands. So that's a big part of it. You know, just in prep, you got to make sure you're going over the roster and pronouncing everybody's name right. The last thing I want to do is mispronounce someone's name. That's maybe cardinal sin number one in my brain for public address work, is get somebody's name right. It doesn't take much effort to figure that out and make sure you double check on that. And it's insulting not to get someone's name right, especially when that's a big part of my job.
Yeah, what will your pregame routine be?
Oh, show up pretty early and to go over the visitors' roster to make sure I got all the names and pronunciations on that. And then it's just a matter of just kind of sitting down and attacking that script, because those pregame announcements, they used to be fairly short. Now they're fairly lengthy. So as people are coming into the arena, they're hearing my voice. So just make sure I'm in good voice and hitting it and making sure people are listening to what I'm saying, because those advertisers pay good money for me to talk about their product or their business, and I don't want to be mush mouth while I'm doing that. I want to make sure I'm announcing it so people can get the message.
As Bob Lutz would say, we want Maude to be able to understand the announcements when she comes.
Well, that's my goal.
So you're at Notre Dame. You start on the PA. Is there? How do you learn? Was it just all on the fly, learning it myself? Did you have a mentor? How do you kind of learn to be a PA guy?
A little bit of a mentor. I mean, I told you about the guy that couldn't do it that night, and that's why I filled in for him. He was kind of my mentor. His name is Chuck Freebie, and he's hosted the Notre Dame football pregame show now for 40 years. And I just kind of learned from him, and it was something I obviously must have had a little bit of in my DNA, because I never found it to be difficult, or it's just something that seemed to be something that I picked up fairly quickly and easily. And it's that aspect of it hasn't really been too much of a challenge for me. It's something that I seem to be fairly good at, and I enjoy doing it, and it's been a real blessing all these years.
Best moment or most memorable moment as a Notre Dame play-by-play person?
As Notre Dame play-by-play? I had a nice effort. I did public address for a track meet one Saturday morning, And my brain isn't 100% wired up for track. Wasn't that experienced at it. And at one point, I saw two runners coming to the finish line, and I was on the mic. What a finish! This is unbelievable! Well, it turns out the guy was lapping the guy that was in last place. So it was not a great, exciting finish, but I had portrayed it as such in my brain. And then, of course, some athletic official came over and said, no, that was not a photo finish. That was the guy getting lapped on the track.
That's a good one.
Well, all right, live and learn.
I was going to ask you your most embarrassing moment as a PA announcer. You just volunteered.
It was right there.
It made my job much easier. How about Wichita State? I would guess, although, you know, volleyball's had some great moments, but I would guess there has to be some baseball from a home regional, something like that. What's your most memorable Shocker moment on the microphone?
Well, I think we probably go back to the regional, and I think it was 95.
96.
Was it 96? When
Fullerton was here?
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was just a surreal week to begin with. And Kevin Costner showed up to a couple of the games that Fullerton was playing, and the stands are packed. And so I did a dot race in the sixth inning featuring lines from Field of Dreams, and I was doing James Earl Jones impersonations, and he got a chuckle out of it. And then Rice was in that same regional, and Janine Turner, the actress from Northern Exposure, she showed up because she was filming a TV movie here, and I started doing some stuff that trying to make her laugh. I think I mentioned her name and said something about a candy bar and got the fans laugh. I don't know. Anyway, it was that was surreal because we had Hollywood people showing up for Shocker baseball regionals, and I was interacting with them, and I won't forget that. That was fun stuff.
It was very entertaining. We were talking about that regional a few days ago after we found out you were going to be the guy. Can you have that kind of fun today, or have things changed? I don't know exactly maybe how they've changed, but I just wonder if you could ad-lib those kind of things today.
That's a great question. There's not as much going on, I know that. And I don't necessarily think it's because there's any further restrictions on me or on the event. I just think times have changed a little bit. There was I don't know if I want to call it a certain innocence or a certain, it just wasn't as structured maybe, right, as it is now, which is not necessarily a good or a bad thing, but just the way it was. It was a little more off the cuff back then, a little more loosey-goosey, and a little more just of a experimental type thing. It seems like now things are a little more scripted, a little more corporate, and like I said, that's not a good or a bad thing, but it's just, I think, the way things at college athletics has gone in that direction in the last 25 years.
Most challenging Shocker name you've had to deal with?
Most challenging Shocker name.
Is there one that's kind of gotten in your brain where you have to, you know how to do it, but sometimes it wants to come out wrong, that kind of thing?
I don't think nothing like that comes to mind. I'll go back and hearken. Some of the ones that just have guys or ladies that have short names, it's kind of hard to sometimes to accentuate that or make that exciting or fun. But I don't know. I try to find some hook in everybody's name to at least make it pop a little bit, or to try to get them just to make it a little more exciting than just the usual monotone. So I guess I can't come up with a specific example, but there are. It's any roster provides you with that challenge, so you just kind of got to come up with something fun.
How many times have you been asked if you will be bringing back the dot race?
Well, I've been asked that continually since it went away. that never ebbs and flows. I think that question always. And once again, the dot race was some dinky little thing that was part of the computer program that was on that first scoreboard that Wichita State put in the, I think, either late 80s or early 90s. And we just did it just to have something to do in the sixth inning, and it was pretty dumb. And I just started kind of goosing it up to make it fun. And I started just coming up with wacky things to say or something odd to make it different. And it just kind of became its own thing to where who knows what I was going to do game after game on the dot race. So it was something pretty banal that we ended up turning into kind of an event, and it's stuck with people all these years. People that went to those games still ask me about it. We haven't done that in 20 years, but they still ask about it.
The dot race does, yeah, for the people who were at games in the 90s, it does occupy this weird prominent space in our consciousness. It is, is an interesting nostalgia, no doubt about that. Let's wrap it up. Surviving the pandemic, do you have a book recommendation, a movie, a TV series that you, you know, that you would recommend for people who are still looking for those things?
Oh, my.
We're out and about now more than we were back in April when I asked for these recommendations. But if you've got a recommendation, now's your chance to pass it on.
Oh, my. I'm such a... Schitt's Creek is a funny show with Chris Elliott and Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara. I kind of got into that, and that came to an end over the pandemic period. But, boy, if you can catch that, that's funny stuff. I've kind of gotten into the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt now. It's a little bit of a catch-up from a show that was on a few years ago. And that's kind of a Tina Fey-based thing. It's got a lot of same... hits the same comedy notes as 30 Rock did. So I've been enjoying that, too.
Excellent.
Thank you. Asked me about books. I wish I was
books,
a reader.
Yeah,
I wish I was a reader. I would love to read more, but I find that when I don't have time, I squeeze out books from the process, and I don't read as much as I would like. Ah, I'd love to be a strong reader.
That's all right. You've got many things to
do. I've got many scripts to read now for Shocker basketball games.
That's right. That's right. All right. Ted Woodward, thank you for your time. We appreciate it. Ted?
Wait, we're done?
Do you have more? Did I miss something?
I was prepared to go for an hour.
I thought you were a busy, busy man. But if there's something else you'd like to talk about, Pittsburgh Pirates.
I don't want to talk about them. Not good. They're bad.
How did you and Bob Lutz have to have a breakup now that you will be on opposite sides of the court during men's basketball?
Yes, games? I've sat next to Bob for, 25 years maybe on press row? And that's now, we'll be on opposite sides of the court. I'd say that's more Bob's issue than mine. I'll be busy, obviously, doing public address, but what's he got to do?
And he's kind of turned into Big Game Bob. He doesn't show up for the... He's not showing up for, you know, East Central Wyoming.
No, he's not.
He's showing up for Memphis in January, so it's probably not as big a deal as it would have been a few years ago.
No, but Bob and I have had a lot of fun sitting on press row all these years, just entertaining ourselves pretty much.
Yes, yes.
But I'll be a busier man now.
Yeah, so you will now, although I guess you were, you know, take people through your routine a little bit. People may not understand what time you have to get up to start preparing for the morning show.
Oh, my. Yeah, I'm on KNSS on the morning show, Stephen Ted in the Morning, on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Show begins at 6 a.m. promptly. I usually get up. I'm usually prepping for about an hour and a half. Get up so that I spend that 90 minutes putting all my sports cast together. I'm also in charge of putting together the entertainment news segment in the program, so I got to put that together. So got to have most of that slammed into the can before we hit the airwaves at 6 a.m., because once that starts, it's 3 hours of on-air busyness. So, yeah, I'm up at about 4:30-ish every day. And then before pandemic hit, after our show ended at 9 a.m., I would go downtown to City Hall and cover the police beat and do the daily police briefing and hit all the crime that happened over the last 24 hours, and then come back and anchor newscast between noon and 3. So it's a long day, but it's a fun day and a varied day and a lot of great tasks. And the best part is from 6 to 9, love being on the air live.
How many cups of coffee do you go through?
I'm not a coffee guy. Steve McIntosh drinks 2 or 3 gallons of the stuff every morning, but I've never been a coffee person. So I just guess I do it on adrenaline.
Okay, well, now that we're discussing coffee drinking habits, I feel we've reached the end, you have something else fascinating.
As long as you're talking about caffeine, though, I got to plug Mr. Pibb.
Is that how you do it?
No, I don't. For those that don't know, Mr. Pibb, a great soft drink from the 1970s, not really available all that much in the Wichita area. In fact, you can't buy it in the stores.
You can get it at Subway, am I correct?
You can get it at certain restaurants. Yes, Longhorn Steakhouse has it. Fazoli's has it. Somebody told me Peach Ranch has it, so I need to check that out. Okay. But you can't go to the store and buy it. you have to go to Emporia or McPherson or so. So, yeah. So Wichita is kind of a Mr. Pibb island where we can't get it. So it's always a quest of mine to somehow search it out and find it.
All right,
where so I can. So there's my caffeine, Mr. Pibb.
Podcast listeners, if you can help Ted Woodward with Mr. Pibb. Now people are going to be showing up to basketball games with a 12-pack of Mr. Pibb and just dropping off there at the scorer's table. And
I'm sure the Shocker folks will enjoy that.
I do not underestimate Shocker fans and their kindness. All right, now we're going to wrap it up for real.
Oh.
Ted Woodward, new PA guy, will be taking over for men's basketball. Will you continue with volleyball, baseball? We don't know what volleyball season will look like, but will you continue in those duties as well, or are you cutting back?
I certainly hope to continue. I would love to keep doing all the sports. I know in this weird, bizarro year, some of them may overlap at some point, but we'll just deal with that as they come. But I would love to keep doing all the sports I do.
Yeah, you are certainly welcome. We may have volleyball, basketball, volleyball, triple headers.
I know. Who knows? It may happen.
Thank you, Ted. We look forward to hearing you at Coke Arena.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you.